Well, this morning we are deviating from our study in the book of Ephesians. We're here to celebrate Father's Day. We had some Father's Day videos for you, but we had some struggle downloading them. So we're sorry about that. But we're grateful that we have a God in heaven who loves us. Father's Day is a very difficult day for some. It's a day with mixed emotions on both sides, for children and for fathers. It'll be 40 years next month that my dad has been gone. And, you know, now that I'm mature, I wish I could have had more time with him and asked him more questions and listened to him. We weren't that lovey, huggy, kissy family. But again, you know, there was things that I wish now I could have understood better about him that would made him the man he was. His mom died when he was born, and so he was raised by his older sister. Due to his mom's death, his father became a very bitter and angry man, and who loved to work hard and loved to drink hard. And so that helped shape and mold the father that I had. My father wasn't a drinker, though, and my father wasn't angry that I remember. My older siblings may have a different story, but my recollection of him. So, again, each of us have our recollections of our father or not having our father present, or the good and the bad and the ugly. And some of us as fathers, we look back and see the mistakes we've made. And we sometimes are filled with guilt or embarrassment or wish we could have a do-over. But we know that in spite of all the struggles and all the difficulties that we face and are facing and will continue to face, that God is a good God and that we have a good, good Father in heaven. And that wonder, if we look in his face, the problems of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so we come today not to speak about a human fatherhood, but our heavenly father and the reaction of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth to his father. In the Hebrew, the word Abba means father. And so we're going to look at three occasions that Jesus cried out to his father. He cried out, Abba, Father. And so we're going to see that here. Three times that the reference is to Abba, our Father. But one of the things I want us to kind of just focus in on again is that regarding our salvation, it's not just about getting out of hell. It's not just about avoiding the judgment. It's about what we're not saved, not only what we're saved from, but what we're saved to. We're saved to an abundant life. We're saved to adoption as his children. We're saved to have a joy-filled life. It doesn't mean we're going to be crazy laughing all the time, but in the midst of the pain and the struggle. Again, the verse that I go back to, and I've said it quite a bit lately, is that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. That doesn't make sense to us. How can you be joyful when you're going to the cross? James tells us to consider it all joy as we face various trials. And the joy comes from the presence of our Father. The joy comes from that nothing can separate us from his love. The joy comes from the fact that I'm more than conquerors in Christ. The joy comes because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I can endure with joy the struggles of life because I know the Comforter is with me. And so in spite of your struggles, your difficulties, or the emotions that you're facing today, or tomorrow, or the rest of the year, that we have a God who loves us and who cares for us, and nothing can separate us from that love. So this morning, let's focus in on our Heavenly Father. With salvation comes a change. There comes a change in our life. And I pray that all of you who are children of God understand that. You know, again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That God has made a change in us. That God has brought about a change in us. That we're no longer slaves of sin. That we are no longer stuck in the muck and mire of sin and of our old ways and of our own selfishness and our own struggles and our own fears and our own hurts and our own pains. But that we have a God who oversees that, who supersedes that, and he has called us to himself. And so we want to focus on three things that have changed. If you're a child of God today, and if you are his today, There's three things that I want to focus in on this morning. And the first one I call a change of relationship. Turn to Romans 8:15, please. A change of relationship. You know, a lot of us don't like change. How many of you don't like change and are willing to admit it? You don't like change. Okay. There's certain things we don't like change. But we won't change until it's more uncomfortable to stay where we are than it is to change. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out in language, Daddy. It's a very intimate term. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of relationship. It's a term of, you don't use down the street. But it's a term of intimacy. You have received a spirit of adoption as sons. He has adopted us out of the world. He has adopted us into His family. Prior to coming to Christ, we were separated. Prior to coming to Christ, we were enemies with God. But today, now, we are sons. Just as you think of the story of the prodigal son who came back and his father ran to him, arms open to embrace him, which was not customary for a man in that. It was a more dignified way of approaching these things, but he didn't care about tradition. He didn't care about dignity. He saw his son who was back. Call somebody Abba. Unfortunately, with our human fathers and as a father, we've made our mistakes. We're not perfect. We have blown it. We continue to blow it. We have a Father in heaven who is perfect without sin. And if the struggle of lack of relationship with your earthly father, a lack of a healthy relationship with your earthly father, don't let that hold you back. Don't let that tear you down. Because we have a God in heaven who, as we sing often, is our good, good Father. Does it still hurt? Yes, it does. He tells us in John, in the Gospel of John, it says that, but as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. God has given you the right, given you authority. He has authorized you. He doesn't give you a little card saying child of God. He has placed the Spirit of God in our hearts as testimony, as we saw in Ephesians, is our guarantee. That we have this guarantee in heaven. We have the guarantee of heaven. And all that that brings in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's look past our human fathers. No matter how good of memory you have, did things or didn't do things, we still have a Heavenly Father who is perfect, who embraces us, who understands us, who loves us. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Why don't you turn with me there? 1 John chapter 3. It's towards the end of the New Testament. It's after the... But turn with me there, please. Verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. That we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. What a great love that is. What a far-reaching love that is. What a fully embracing love that is. What a rich love that is. What a complete love that is. That it is not lacking in any quality. We can even say, And the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my Father. I have a Father in heaven, and I shall not want. I shall not be cheated out of anything that He has for me. And I am full and I am rich in Him. And the amazing thought of this, because of the change of relationship, I am fully known and fully loved. That, my friends, blows us away. That God knows us and He still loves us. God knows us and He still is patient with us. God knows us and we are still blessed with all spiritual blessings. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, as earthly people, as even as our Father, we, or as one another, we're not ready to fully love and fully knowing somebody, are we? We're hesitant. We're tentative. Are they telling me the whole truth? Are they telling me part truth? Am I going to get hurt? And some of you have been hurt in relationships. Some of you have been what you felt like stabbed in the back. Some of you have struggled. But my God fully knows you. And He fully loves you. That, my friends, should give us assurance. That, my friends, should give us peace. That, my friends, should give us a motivation to continue on. Yeah, that hurt me. Yeah, I got screwed there. Yeah, I got hurt there. Yeah, that was a cheap shot. But that wasn't my God. And a lot of times we blame God for what people do to us. It's not God's fault. Sometimes we allow the harm or the heartache or the pain or the struggle of life to keep us from embracing and enjoying that relationship with our God. The second change that comes is this, a change of control. A change of control. Look with me to Mark chapter 14, please. The Gospel of Mark. In the New Testament, right after Matthew. I won't ask you, but a number of you like to be in control. And I know that because you're the one who wants to drive. You want to be in control. Or insist on driving. That's one of the reasons I have a hard time falling asleep on an airplane, on a train, or when somebody else is driving, because I'm not in control of the vehicle. Change of control. Look at Matthew 14:36. Here we have our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to the cross praying, and He's being overwhelmed by the realities of the cross. Now, let me share something here. It's not the pain of the cross. It's not the pain of the coming beatings. It's not that. It is the taking on of the judgment of His Father for all of sin. Because he says, if this cup could pass, and the cup is filled with the wrath of God that will be upon Him because of our sin. And this is what He says. And He was saying, Abba, Father, Daddy, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but You will. Matthew records the same similar words. And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me, yet not as I will, but as You will. A change in reality in our Christianity, our salvation, or the reality of the change of our heart is that we are willing and have given up control of our lives. We have said, not My will, but Your will be done. And it's easy to say when we're telling somebody else that, right? It's easy to say when we're not in a trial or we're not in a struggle, we're not facing a death possibility because of an illness. It's not as easy to say when I'm going through a trial, when problems are upon me, to say, Your will, Lord, nothing but nothing more, nothing less. But friends, that comes from a heart that has been changed. That is only a heart that has been changed. that can surrender to that reality. Because we have a God whom we can trust. We have a God whom we can love. We got a God who loves us and watches out for us. He's not a capricious God. He's not a God who just zaps you just to have fun. It's called about releasing control of our lives. I'm no longer living for myself or for what I want, but I've surrendered to whatever God wants from me. Nor shall I compare what God is doing to somebody else with myself. Because that gets us in trouble too. No, God, you did it for trouble, you got to do it for me. You did it for Sarah, you got to do it for me. The same way, and better. No. God, whatever you have for me, bless them. Continue to bless Chubby and Sarah and the rest, who I may at times feel a little jealous of. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, build them. But I'm under your authority. I'm under your authority. Somebody I know had a hard time holding down a job. And I talked with them. I said, "You don't like to be told what to do, huh?" He said, "Nope." I said, "That's why you'll never have a job. Because unless you're the big boss, there will always be somebody to tell you what to do." Right? Any of you work at a job or they don't tell you what to do? You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. They expect you to follow instructions. Sarah works at the preschool. She's telling friends, "Are you following directions?" Even GPS tells us what directions to follow, right? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Okay, discipline is a natural part of being raised up in a family, right? That should be the natural way of parents. It's time for discipline. Now, discipline is not always punishment. Sometimes discipline is in the area of training and molding and shaping. It takes discipline to be an elite athlete. You work out, you run. It takes discipline to have a healthy body, especially in our culture with tortillas and tacos and enchiladas and you name it, right? Well, we'll leave that. I don't want you to hear your stomachs rolling. We'll leave that alone. "Furthermore," verse 9, "we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them." Maybe that respect doesn't come until you're down the road and you have your own kids, but there's a reality that they took time to shape and mold us. But here's the point. "Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" In other words, am I not better off when I surrender to my Heavenly Father? Is life not more doable when I'm surrendering to His ways? As much as it might hurt, as much as difficult it might be, it's still much better in the long run, in the big picture, if I just surrendered control to Him, because He's got the right way. He's got the right path. He's got the direction. He's got the secrets to a fulfilled life. And it's called Jesus. His name is Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Verse 10. "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness." My life is richer today because of Christ in me. You know, sometimes you go back and you look at your life. Say, well, if I would have done this, I would have done that. Would have been here, would have been there. But it all comes back to the reality that God put me here, and I'm richer today than any of those other options would have made. I'm richer today, and I'm more joyful, more joy-filled today because of Christ in me. Could I have taken another path that would have made me financially richer? Yeah. Could I have taken a better path to be better looking? Well, I don't know about that, but whatever path, regardless, I'm here today, and I'm richer and fuller with Christ in me because I'm learning to surrender and submit every day to Christ. And whatever He's put to mold and shape me is always, always for my good. Why would I change that? Why would I substitute that? Why would I throw that away? Why would I pay, you know, what was his name? Esau sold his birthright for a cup of lentil soup. No. To fill my hunger, to fill my lust, to fill my appetite, to fill my own selfishness, to fill, don't get me wrong, I'm still struggling, I'm still battling with these things. But when I surrender control to my Heavenly Father, He molds and shapes me for my best, for my good. Because of the change of control, I can rest, you can rest with confidence in the Lord every day, all day. No matter how bad that vitamin tastes, no matter how bad that broccoli tastes, no matter how bad that, well, never mind about canned spinach, but no matter how bad those things that are good for you are, they are good for you. And God brings us to that place of grace and of mercy. Sometimes we make things to be more bitter than what they really are. Flashback all the way back to kindergarten. That was 57 years ago. We had this one-a-day vitamin. Not Fruity Pebbles, not some good-filled, gel-filled vitamin, but we had the one-a-day pill they would give us in kindergarten every day. Now, if you got the pill, you threw it in your mouth, you drank the water and swallowed it, it was fine. I would throw the pill in my mouth, and I couldn't swallow it. I had this gag reflex. I could put half a hamburger in my mouth and no, not a kindergarten, maybe a fourth of a hamburger and swallow it, but I couldn't get that little stupid pill to go down. It wouldn't go down. I still have trouble with the big Motrin pills. Sarah can take 5 or 6 vitamins. No problem, but I gagged on this. And you know what happens when a vitamin like that melts? One more time, babe. It's horrible. But sometimes we sit around and complain, and I'm over here thinking, how am I going to hide this pill? There were times that I hid it. I was able to, at a young age, I was able to get it in my hand and pretend I threw it like that, and I went like that. But there were other times Mrs. Provines was watching me, and I had to put it in my mouth. And it was just nasty. Friends, let's take the pill that God has for us. Let's swallow it down, and it's less bitter. We sit around moaning and complaining and groaning about why things are happening to me instead of saying, Lord, I'm here. Teach me. Show me. Mold me. Get me through this. Victoria was telling her daughters, says, before her surgery, everything's going to be fine. God has me in control. God's in control, and everything's going to be fine. The doctors are working for Him. And in case it doesn't, I have a room in heaven. Right? Third change. So we have a change of relationship, a change of control, a change of position. These aren't nice, neat little sayings. It's just ideas that I'm throwing out at you. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Because you are sons, he's telling the Galatians, you're children of God. Right? You're His children. Let's not get caught up. I know in our society today, it's very, very sensitive about defining pronouns or adjectives for a person's gender. It's not just about males. This is his children, okay? It's written, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That we have the help of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father, to cry to him. In fact, you know what? When we don't pray, when we don't cry out to God, we are resisting the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit who is leading us to cry out, Abba, Father. But we're rejecting his power, we're rejecting his direction, we're rejecting his leadership when we don't pray. He's saying, cry out to Abba, Father. I was thinking about it the other day. I know for men in the Hispanic culture, it's a machismo. What is it for the women? Because you have a similar attitude in some of you. You're very strong, strong-willed. Is there a word for it? Not machismo. So those of you who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about, okay? But there's this strength, and sometimes that strength is there out of necessity because the men in your life didn't kick it in. But regardless, we are to surrender. Because he says, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, we are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. My position has changed from being a slave of sin to an heir. I'm an heir. There's an inheritance coming. Now, if any of you have ever been a part of an inheritance, you know that it gets divided up, right? It's not always true. If you have four children, four are going to get an equal part. It's not always. But even if you have four children, it's four of you, and each of you get an equal part, you only get a part of it. The Bible tells us that we get a full measure. We share in the measure of Christ. And whatever he receives, we receive. He, because of his divine right as a child of God, and as God, a response of divine grace. Because of God's grace that he's poured out on us. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us confidence. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us strength. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to cry out. And the Bible tells us sometimes we don't know how to pray. All we can do is groan. And yet the Holy Spirit is there to lift us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to build us. Some of you, your fathers haven't heard you. And that for I heard with here today. Have cried and your fathers have ignored you. Some of you have cried, cry out to him. He is heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Colossians, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Church was the heir of 1/8 of somebody's was replaced on Mulherin Hall. Paul tells the Corinthians, Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He left heaven, left the throne to come, put on flesh, so that through his poverty we might become rich. That is a change of position. We are no longer, but we are children of the Almighty God. I caught myself, I almost said a bad word. It's from the Vadio, uncouth word, a word that you wouldn't use in church. But friends, that is who we are. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer to the Father, John 17, says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Speaking of his apostles, specifically, directly, right then and there, but speaking to all his children. The glory that I received from the Father, Jesus is saying, I've given to you. we have the glory of God that was given to the Son. Why? Because I'm a co-heir with Christ. That I will reign with Christ one day. Distract us. Why would we let the powers of evil invade our thoughts and follow after them? But this morning you might be asking yourself, oh, because of that change, my forever life with the Lord is set. Because of change. Look with me to Psalm 103, please. Verse 8. Pastor, I understand all that you said about our Heavenly Father. I understand that there is no one like Him. There is no equal. There is no one more satisfying. There is no one who is more adequate or sufficient. I understand that. I believe that. I'm here today because of that. But I still have a heartache. Comfort and peace here. In Psalm 103, verse 8 to 14. And gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. I've shared before with you, I live on an emotional roller coaster. I tend to fixate on things that of the past that I don't need to fixate on. I need to remember these verses. That I am a weak human being, and God knows it. But in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my sins, in spite of my lack, or despite of the way I wasn't raised or was raised or whatever, God knows, and He is compassionate. And that He can take whatever sins I've committed and whatever sins that have been committed to me, against me, and drop them in the deepest part of the ocean. Our prayer is, I got to stop thinking about those things, God. Help me to know that You are compassionate. Help me to know that You're loving. Help me to remind me of these things daily. And You have so much more for me, oh Lord. These are the things I need to remember. These are the things I need to focus on. That is the God who we call Daddy. A son and a father had talked about a gift for graduation, and the son asked the father for a car. Upon his graduation, his father handed him a Bible, and the son lost it. He was completely upset, totally angry, because he thought in his heart he was getting a car. Walked away, never talked to his father again. Wasn't until after his father died that he found that Bible. And inside that Bible was the gift of a car. All he had to do was go claim it. Friends, if we're going to know the love of God, it's going to be as we dig into the Word. And we will see more than not that God definitely loves us. Let me challenge you to dig in His Word. And see the love of God manifested. And then go and share that love with one another. Father, this morning we truly confess our sin, Father. We confess our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures. We also acknowledge that, Father, You are a good, good Father. And You have no equal. And that You are a God of compassion, of mercy, of grace. And then, Father, You have blessed us not only with all spiritual blessings, but You have blessed us co-heirs with Christ of the glory that Christ will find in heaven, has found in heaven, that we too will find it also. Help us to dig in Your Word to find more of Your love that is available to each of us in full measure. For that, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all those who have been a role model for young people in your lives.